So from the reading in Deuteronomy today, we have the words, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to everything that I command. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name, a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." Speaking for God is risky business, and I think it is also ridiculously presumptuous business. I wish that we're named more often. Who are finite beings to speak on behalf of the infinite and the divine? It is why some of us in divinity school joked about the concept of a Master of Divinity degree. How improbable the possibility of competence and mastery when it comes to God. Who speaks in and for the name of God? Well, lots of us lately seem to confidently take up the task. And protest signs are a colorful way to illustrate this. To counter Black Lives Matter signs, other signs have read, "All lives matter, Jesus." To the infamous "God hates fag" signs of the Westboro Baptist protests, other signs and other protests have come to read, "Jesus hates figs," in reference to a story in the Gospel of Mark where he dries up the fig tree, and "God hates shrimp," which references other admonitions of the Levitical purity codes. There's also the prophetic work of interpreting natural events, also a somewhat confusing mix of the interpretation of God's will. I was living in Minneapolis during the ELCA's 2009 vote on whether or not to ordain gay clergy. The night before the vote, a big storm arose, and a tornado or high winds toppled the steeple of Central Lutheran Church, where the National Assembly was being held. You can imagine the interpretation of condemnation that arose from that phenomenon. Turn from the promotion of behaviors that lead to destruction. Turn back from distorting the grace of God into sensuality, wrote one local preacher. It is also true that the deadliest lightning strike in Western recorded history was a gunpowder factory in the European country of Luxembourg, which completely disintegrated two city blocks and 300 people. Perhaps this was their punishment for working in a gun factory or living near one. Perhaps God does not like guns. Who speaks in and for the name of God? It is risky and dangerous business. Let us at the very least acknowledge this. This Wednesday marked the 76th anniversary of the liberation of the German death camps at Auschwitz. At LCH, it is also the week we honor the commitment to be reconciling in Christ. The welcome to all, no matter the color of one's skin, who one loves, or what their gender. These two remembrances actually overlap. There were in the company of those who were sent by the Third Reich to the death camps about 5,000 to 15,000 persons who were gay, most of them men. Many of them received some of the most brutal treatment. There was by those in power a deep hatred of difference, a projection and scourging of who were considered weak, wrong, and lacking the marks of strength and divinity. God was certainly on the side of the blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Who speaks for God? In one quote that I came across from the Jewish chemist Primo Levi, and also a Holocaust survivor, he wrote this: "Monsters exist, but they are too few in number to be truly dangerous. More dangerous are the common men the functionaries ready to believe and to act without asking questions. It is perhaps for lacking the questions that we assume we know enough of God to speak on God's behalf, that we gather enough certainty to destroy one another. More dangerous are the common men, those of us ready to believe and to act without asking questions. How are we to know who speaks for God? In the life of faith, there are layers of accountability. There is scripture or the stories of faith, including prophetic stories told through time. There is a faithful community journeying with these scriptures, wrestling with them in each new time and place and context. And there is the quiet spirit leading us, however silent sometimes, along the way. Whoever the prophet is or wherever prophecy exists, they or it does not exist alone. It speaks in and from tradition, even as it works anew. We have at least this litmus test. So we take up the prophetic task as best we can, but let us at least name the fallible humans that are taking it up. Let us name that we humans are not God. In the gospel reading today, at the very beginning of Mark, as the author begins to establish who Jesus is, what characterizes and sets apart this prophet, he starts with a story of freedom. "Be silent and come out of him," Jesus commands. Here is a man whose demons are silenced and who is liberated from them. This is the authority of this Holy One, Jesus. Here is one who has come to liberate. It seems the Holy One has not come to imprison in death camps or enslave for labor or bury under shame and scourge. The Markan author begins his book with a prophetic one who has come not to destroy, but to deliver. One who has come to unshackle and release. While today's prophets may be difficult to discern, and I end simply with this, may we remember one prophet who came to deliver and set free. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "Help Us Accept Each Other."